Well, it's kind of a daunting task to stand up here and kind of have the last word. We've had such a wonderful conference, and I don't want to say anything to detract from it or spoil it in any way. In fact, this morning I felt like telling Brother Tim Totems that I couldn't do it, but then Dave Whitaker stood up there and spoke about the lad that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I said, Lord, I think I only got 1 loaf and maybe a minnow, I don't know. But anyway, we'll just try to be brief here. You know, what we've had before us in the conference, bearing fruit, and today so much the overcomer. And now the challenge is to go home to our local assembly. And that's always hard, you know. I've sat in many a conference and been encouraged. But you go home and you're faced with everything that you left. All the challenges are still there. The Lord doesn't remove them, but maybe we can go back with a little something to help us with those challenges. As you know, bearing fruit, I think we had it mentioned, but bearing fruit is for right now. The Lord Jesus could come at any moment, and there will be no more chance to bear fruit or to overcome. And so right now is the opportunity, and we don't want to let it slip by. I want to read a verse in 1 Samuel, something I've been thinking of all day today, 1 Samuel chapter 22. And it's talking about when David was chased by Saul, and he went to the cave of Adullam, and the different ones were gathered to him there. And I'll just read in verse 2. It tells what kind of people they were. It says, everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. I wonder how many came here to this conference and maybe you were in distress about something. Maybe there's something in your local assembly that distresses you, that's hard to put up with, and it's a problem for you. Everyone that was in debt, if we don't take that in a literal sense, maybe I thought of it this way. Maybe you feel like you've already kind of blown it. You say, Lord, how can my life be fruitful now? I've made such a mess of things already. And I've felt that way myself. I just feel under a load. I have felt that way. And everyone that was discontented, you know, what an army. This looks like a recipe for disaster for David. And, you know, the Lord has kind of a motley crew to work with in ourselves. But just turn over to one more verse. Well, I shouldn't say one more verse, but I'm just going to hit just a highlight or two in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. With David's mighty men. And I hope in these few comments that I convey to you something in the way of help in bearing fruit and overcoming. Sometimes we go home all set to do it, you know. We got some things that we want to try, and we're ready to do it. But you know, if you've read this chapter of David's mighty men, these were some of the same men that were there that were discontented and in debt and discouraged. And yet now we read of some of the things that they've done. And one of them, I'm going to read in verse 22 about Benaiah. Because he faced some enemies that you're going to face when you get home. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear, like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff, and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. Wow, what a guy. Hard to imagine, isn't it? But I'd like to suggest to you that we face the same three enemies in a spiritual sense. In the lion-like men of Moab, we get the flesh that we all have within us. And the lion has Satan. And the Egyptian, that's the world. The flesh, Satan, and the world, all three arrayed against us. And, you know, these two lion-like men of Moab, I think if you read of Moab in Scripture, you find that two things characterized Moab, and that was pride and ease, self-indulgence. So we go home and we climb into bed, and the alarm rings in the morning, and you think, I should get up and read my Bible. And one of those lion-like men of Moab has you by the throat, and he says, just stay there a while longer. It's too hard to get up. Well, I'm not going to elaborate on that, but what I want to say is, what was it that turned these people that were such a motley crew into such a wonderful servant of David? And, you know, I don't think they set out to try to be David's best servant. But these men came to love David so much that they couldn't do enough for him. And that was the power behind what they did. It was love for David. And I just want to say to you, as you go back home, does the love of Christ constrain you? Does it move your heart? That's going to be the power for overcoming these enemies. You know, there were three men here that heard David just say, oh, I wish I had a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And as we had it in the meetings, that wish spoken to no one in particular was a command. And those men went at the risk of their lives, and they broke through the Philistine host and brought that water to David, and he poured it out on the ground. You know, sometimes I thought, wow. But they knew that David appreciated that. I know they did. And that was all the payment they needed. And so, you know, you can read through these different ones, and you'll find how they overcame obstacles and giants and everything, but it was all because of that affection for David that they had come to know him and appreciate and value him. And so rather than thinking, you know, I'm going to go home and try to bear fruit, we know that doesn't work. Try to overcome, we need to get our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And that will be the thing that will help us in our walk with the Lord. Well, I think I've gone on long enough, so let's just thank him for the refreshments and for all his goodness to us.